For the life of me, I cannot understand why they would conclude that this is reasonable, in that now BBC admits that 97% of Rhodesia or Zimbabwe is under the control of the rightful representatives of the people, the Patriotic Front, headed by Robert Mugabe, Marxist and nationalist leader Joshua N. Nkoma. U.S. State Department expects more direct negotiations later. Perhaps it's just hopeful optimism, because this afternoon Egypt expelled all Israeli diplomats, military aides, economic attachés, in a state of what they called open belligerence, because of Israeli fascist aggressive policies. Israeli government represented its concern for the Egyptian action over the United Nations Forum. It is hopeful that this will not be the end of the bargaining process in the troubled Near East that could lead to nuclear war any time. Secretary of State Vance plans an emergency trip for a conference to try to soothe the troubled waters of that terrible war zone. United Nations Security Council, in a 13-2 vote, have voted for Namibian, formerly a territory of South Africa before World War I, a territory of the German imperialist. By 13-2 vote, they voted for Namibian independence. But there are checks on it. Even though Walvis Bay, an important port, has been included in the so-called Namibian independence, the Soviet Union and Czechoslovakia abstain because the elections are going to be held under the auspices of the United Nations, and the Soviet Union is suggesting that the United States intends to exercise control over Namibia's outcome. Robert Mugabe, Marxist-Leninist leader of the Patriotic Front that holds 97% of Zimbabwean or Rhodesian territory, has said that no settlement can be brought about between Rhodesia without Great Britain's direct participation, direct negotiations with the Patriotic Liberation Front. Robert Mugabe said that he would consider, and Joshua N. Nkoma, his nationalist cohort, would consider having representatives of the illegal racist Ian Smith interim government present. However, the Patriotic Front said they would consider no negotiations whatsoever that was not predicated upon the immediate taking over of the armed forces and the police by the representative government that now practically controls Rhodesia, namely the Patriotic Front. It seems that the USA has no respect for the will of the people whatsoever in this dreadful and rather shocking right-wing move to lift economic and military sanctions against the white racist government that only represents 3% of the people in Zimbabwe. This could lead to much more bloodshed and torturous conditions. United States of America has always been known for its imperialist stance. But even socialist, social democrat Sweden and one of her NATO allies, Belgium, said this was a very peculiar move to make at this time when the patriotic front has been clearly justified as the government of the people of Rhodesia. Gabon, G-A-B-O-N, has expelled 9,000 people from Benin, B-E-N-I-N, a socialist Marxist country that recently, as you remember, bravely resisted and overwhelmed 1,000 mercenaries that were landed by U.S. imperialists and her lackeys. Benin found that Gabon was planning a military coup d'etat, an overthrow by subversion and infiltration of the Benin government. In retaliation for Benin's accusation against the world body of the United Nations, Gabon has expelled 9,000 Benin citizens, including all merchants, taxi cab drivers, and manual skilled laborers. The Iraq government has ordered all British diplomats and representatives to leave their country. They have been given 24 hours to leave Baghdad. The Iraqis have been accused by Britain before the United Nations of terrorist activities in England that have killed off a number of right-wing Near East leaders. Iraq denies it and retaliates by demanding that all British representatives, English representatives, be removed from Iraq in 24 hours. Iraq is a highly nationalistic, extremely paranoid government, but it has followed a pro-Soviet course, though it is not a Marxist nation. Turkey issued an impassioned plea by way of President Carter before the Senate to lift the ban of arms against the reactionary state of Turkey that has had numerous left-wing uprisings of late. Of course, it is said that it is very likely that the Senate will respond favorably to Carter and the reactionaries' request. It's disheartening and painful to we who have paid so many dollars into that bloody warfare machine of USA imperialism to realize that every time a people rise to their freedom, USA comes along to aid the oppressor. There may be a close vote in the House, but it is expected that the lifting of the ban of military arms and hardware that had been banned since 1975 will succeed in the Senate and will also pass narrowly in the House of Representatives. Non-aligned nations are in a growing dissension. They're conducting, as you know, a conference in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, headed by the remarkable Tito, 86 years young, who has been perhaps the greatest freedom fighter against fascism, Hitler's Germany, in the world. He's lived a good, strong, able life as a socialist and has been involved in guerrilla war, risking his life many times throughout his young years. Singapore, the nation of Singapore, said it was tired of U.S. imperialist efforts to use non-aligned nations to spread proxy wars. Considerable dissension has been noticed in the non-aligned conference over Cuba's representation in the non-aligned Third World membership. The arguments of certain right-wing regimes is that Cuba is a satellite of the Soviet Union. But from my visits to Cuba, I can assure you that that's another trickeration of the capitalist. Portugal has been almost brought down to collapse due to its dependency upon the International Monetary Fund, because the government of Suarez has been demanded to relinquish its power after losing a majority that it had formed in a coalition with the Social Democrats. The Social Democrats broke their tie with the socialist government of Suarez over conflicts in the field of socialization and agriculture. The Social Democrats had asked for the dismissal of the agricultural minister, and Suarez refused. So it seems that the socialist government has come to an end, which saddens our hearts considerably. Nigeria, which has always been considered pro-USA until Carter took his trip and tried to negotiate secretly with bank interest in Nigeria, has increasingly taken a more positive stand for Third World liberation and for black integrity. Nigeria is one of the richest black nations in the world, one of the richest oil nations in the world. It has refused to allow any of its teams to participate in the international sports events in Edmonton, Canada. Bravo to the Nigerians. Other African nations have spoken out against this move. It is a rather dichotomous move, paradoxical move, being that Nigeria has a reasonable pro-capitalist or free enterprise so-called government. It has become increasingly belligerent and one of the greatest oppositions to USA, to racism, to the oppression in South Africa. The USA dollar again declined to the lowest point in history since the Great Depression. The yen gained some 17 cents on the dollar. West Germany have ordered massive tax cuts to try to help the slumbering, faltering dollar. They are going to utilize the money that they have in reserve to help with other less developed capitalist nations as capitalist economies continue to rock and reel. This came out of the economic summit meeting of the seven leading capitalists being conducted in Bonn, West Germany. West Germany is the capitalist sector of Germany that prides itself in being the inheritor of murderer Adolf Hitler's Third Reich. The delegation from Angola has gone to Zaire in another one of the surprise moves of all times. Zaire and Angola, who have been enemies for years, are now forming closer ties. Zaire is headed by a nationalist dictator, and Angola by the Marxist-Leninist pro-Soviet, pro-Cuban Agostinho Neto's government. Zaire has approved the official opening of an embassy in great festivities planned for tomorrow. First time in their history, Angola will have an official embassy in Zaire. International Development Bank has voted $7.5 million aid to the faltering Chad government that seems to be in great difficulty because the French imperialist lackeys of the USA have not been able to maintain the regime. Libya has been helping the brave guerrilla bands, liberation bands, the Fardenat, that have been fighting so firmly and so determinedly for liberation of their country. U.S. citizens have been requested to leave Lebanon by the president of Lebanon. U.S. citizens have been accused, high-ranking business people, of conniving with Israeli subversion in trying to topple the Lebanon government. Syria, still standing at war footing, demanding that Israel withdraw and not advance anymore in its territorial aggression against Lebanon. Also demanding that Israel release Lebanon to the United Nations peacekeeping forces and withdraw its support from the Christian phalangist militia that it has set up conveniently. On with the news. Only peace settlement negotiations acceptable to Nigeria for the troubled Rhodesian are, as we who are proudly devoted to Africa would call Zimbabwe, according to Nigeria, must be a government of the Patriotic Front. Great courage is being shown in these stands. Continue with the news. I believe that I have covered the majority of the news. Sudan. Massive flooding has caused people to flee. Khartoum, Sudan, was where the Organization of African Unity was conducting its negotiations to take a strong stand for African independence. They have had massive rainfall in 100 cities that have leveled 37 centimeters. It is over three times the usual rainfall. Questions have been raised by the Soviet Union of CIA cloud seeding again. Both Ethiopia, pro-Soviet, and even Sudan and Egypt are rushing in food and blankets as 100 cities have had to be evacuated. I think that pretty much covers the news. I shall review just briefly the news I gave midday, which was not taped. Tokyo. Militant rightists and fascists have gathered in street mobs around the Chinese Communist Embassy protesting Japan and China signing a friendship treaty. Sir Lionel Lukwu, world famous attorney, who is our attorney, who has never lost a murder case, has found great inefficiency, fraudulent use of funds, lack of punctuality of workers in the nationalized electrical companies and other public services that have been taken over by the socialist government. Demands for increased productivity have been made or immediate dismissal of the workers. The Association of Engineers in Guyana have protested the U.S. boycotting and British boycotting, and even sending of inferior equipment. They said they have never been as low in their stockpile of equipment to maintain the various engineering projects in Guyana. In England, perhaps one of the most horrifying news of the day, England has successfully had a baby in a laboratory test tube. Church leaders, humanists, including humanists in the Soviet Union, have decried this as the beginning of an era when man will be able to clone, design certain kinds of human beings that will not be able to think or to resist, to be able to do the slave work of the ruling class. First test baby officially born, a 5-pound baby girl. Science has now entered the field of childbirth and child planning, child conception and cloning. Horrifying fact. The same experiment was being conducted in USA between two self-centered couples who had several children and paid $30,000 to a prominent surgeon to remove the seed from the woman because she was infertile and put it in the test tube. Another doctor, out of indignation, moral indignation, destroyed all of the facilities and the process by which the baby would have been born by laboratory test tube. The doctor has been sued and the hospital for over $5 million. Let us hope that the juries of USA will realize the horror of this kind of scientific meddling with birth of children and cloning of babies. Consumers are asking for control prices on fruits in Guyana. $250,000 engine has been tampered with or was sent to Guyana in a damaged condition by capitalist elements abroad. The west coast of Guyana is in total darkness. The engines are having differential problems, which may have been caused by the selling of inferior or sabotaged equipment to the socialist government of Guyana. 10,000 students in Guyana have had their second school proficiency examination. It replaces the preliminary aptitude test. It's not, under the new referendum, a pass or fail test. A more humane type of testing evaluation has now been introduced in Guyana. We were thought to have had to take some Guyanese students into our program, but according to Minister Mingo today, cabinet leader, our friend and liaison with the government, close friend of Dr. Reed, head of the PNC, deputy prime minister of the PNC, there has been a mistake in the computer, and we're to go to the educational department and tell them that we are not in any way prepared to take any more students. Democratic People's Republic of Korea charged the affairs rally. Guyanese supporters have gathered by the hundreds in support of Korea's demand, which USA opposes, for reunification of that country. Commander Lee of the GNS has come out in support of the reunification of Communist Korea. A rally will be held in the Essequibo region this night. That seems to be Rhodesian schedule for elections. One man, one vote is nothing more than a white referendum. says Guyana Broadcasting Studios, in spite of the United Nations voting through the lifting of bans, military aid to that fascist regime of Ian Smith. Private cars used as taxis in Guyana, admonished by the government for the citizenry not to ride in them because they are not insured. We should notify our Georgetown people who on occasion do utilize them. BBC News. Nuclear waste is being dumped into the ocean by USA. United Kingdom nuclear power stations and British and USA nuclear power stations deny the nuclear waste are dumped, but the BBC commentary insists that such contamination is being done regularly. It's a legal battle with the French also on nuclear tests going on. It seems very difficult to convince the French, one of the lackeys of NATO and USA, that they should not do any more atomic bomb testing as it dumps high degrees of radiation throughout the rich farm areas of USA and Europe. There have been protests. Several nations have been bringing up ships close to the Pacific Atoll to protest the test by the atomic bomb that will be exploded this week by the French. A court battle is being conducted against the French to stop atmospheric testing. A proposal before the United Nations is also being pressured because a high degree of radiation has already ensued enough, according to the BBC medical authorities, to increase the risk of cancer 5 times in USA, Canada, Britain, and Europe. Canada is the number 2 supplier of uranium in the world right now because the deposits of Zaire have not been tapped, and it looks like the independent strong-arm dictator of Zaire is going to see that he gets the high market price for his uranium and cobalt. In spite of his right-wing tendencies, he does not like white oppression. Well, we're grateful for that news, because when U.S. capitalism and its imperialist yakis cannot find cheap markets and cheap sources for the things they want to buy, that will force inflation and lower wages and cause more awareness, perhaps, hopefully cause more awareness of the dangers, the imminent dangers of capitalism, and certainly will do one thing, it will bring about the collapse eventually of capitalism. We are grateful, so grateful, for the return of my son, Ricky. He has a story to tell all of you of horror in the jungle at night. He heard my voice appealing to him early in the day and tried to follow it as best he could.